And so tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want to continue to preach in your hearing in our Wednesday night series, The Power of the Throne of Grace in Prayer. And I'm not the only preacher who understands this or who knows about this, and that is, it's amazing that even when you're in a series, how God somehow, I don't know how he does it, how he just miraculously, amazingly, he'll have that sermon to be right what we need. It's amazing. It's the power of the Word of God. The power of the grace of the power of the throne of grace in prayer, part 6, praying through the Bible. And this is message number 398. That means 398 Wednesday nights over, I don't know how many years. And by the grace of God, even when we were in storms and tornado threatenings, we have never missed a Wednesday night in this series. Turn in your Bibles, my beloved, to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Now, I hope to God that all of you who are gathering on with me right now, that you've already, hopefully, attended your own prayer meeting and Bible study at your own church. And if they had it. And what I mean by that is, I know that you can't go to the church house in most cases. We do have some disobedient, unwise people still trying to do that. But I want you to understand that the coronavirus plague is not the flu. This is a plague. It is extremely contagious. You will never see it. You might have it right now and you might not feel anything. But my beloved, when you're dealing with something that almost 1,000 people die in a day, I don't care if they're young, middle age, old, I don't want to hear all of that. There's a whole lot of old folk, man, as strong as they can be. I know an old preacher right now can outrun me. He's in his 80s. What are you talking about? I know a preacher right now in Georgia, 80-something years old, and I guarantee you if we had a 50-yard dash, he could beat me. And I'm not even 60. I call him Mandingo. He's from the Mandingo tribe of Africa. A different level. And he and I laugh about it and talk about it. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because he and I, we were having a conference and we wanted to go get something to eat, and you know, one of those spring showers popped up on us out in the parking lot. And I said, I bet you I'll beat you to the door. And we took off running. Oh, two preachers running, trying to get out of the rain. Now, he's 20-something years older than me. And I tell the lie that I beat him. He said, he just ran back and said, you can keep on telling that lie. But he beat me. That's the truth. So I don't want to hear nothing about the age and later for that. That means nothing. But if you have in one country rolling up on 1,000 people dead in a day. Today in America, 185 people dead just today. In Italy, rolling up on almost 1,000 people almost every day. Under normal circumstances, we'll be ringing the alarm bell. There are some people who are dead. They didn't even know they had coronavirus plague. They just died and didn't know. Okay, so if there ever was a time to pray, we need to pray. But you need to do like some of these other preachers are doing, because see, the real Christians, the real preachers, they're going to preach. The preachers who are truly called by God, they don't need a crowd. They will go right up into the church or stand up in their house, get in a good position, and just go off and start preaching. One preacher sat down in his chair and preached this past week. T.D. Jakes, one of the greatest preachers as far as gifting and talent is concerned. You gotta pay attention. Pay attention to this. What's over there? Right here. Nothing? Okay, you need to focus on these things here. T.D. Jakes preached to a few people in his massive church the other day, and he preached like he always preached. In fact, he preached better. Dr. Tony Evans preached to an empty church. People who are truly called by God to preach, but they're going to preach if there's nobody in the crowd, because they understand that there's power in preaching the gospel and power in preaching the word. You can be out in the wilderness, man. The word of God is like a heat-seeking missile. It'll find you. You don't have to have anybody in the crowd. You just need God in the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't need anybody else. John, he didn't rent a Colosseum. He just preached in the wilderness. John the Baptist, okay? So, my beloved, remember, yes, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the power of the throne of grace in prayer. Part 6, Praying Through the Bible, 398. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, and that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That's right. Go ahead on and stand for the reading of God's word. I forgot to tell you. That's good. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Always know that Jesus knows all about what you're dealing with and what you're going through. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And while you are locked down, while you are sheltering in place while you are shut in by law. And my hat is off to many government officials, governors particularly across this nation, and who have shown some profound guts. And mayors looking at models of other countries and other cities and doing what they know their city and their state really don't want them to do. Pray for them, for they're making tough decisions for your safety. But let me say to you, while you're shut in, if you've never prayed before, my beloved, for one of the most dangerous places to be in modern times, unfortunately, is shut in with your own family. I know you don't like to hear that. That's not popular in evangelical circles, but I can name you about 100 preachers right now who are out of the ministry. Their families are shot to hell because there were problems in the family. The devil works on the family. That's one of the reasons why you don't like being around the family. It's a testing ground. It's a training ground. And it's tough. And it can get rough. But we're gonna make it. You can make it if you put God first and you pray like God wants you to pray, together in the morning and at night, and to pray without ceasing. I recommend praying a breath prayer every hour. Everybody does not have to be in the same room, but if you are, it's great to pray together. Prayer is one of those things that you benefit from having somebody else to do it with you, just like witnessing. You gain more boldness and courage and accountability. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you and we thank you for allowing things to be as well as they are. We thank you, Holy Father God, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I'm thankful to you that I'm not hearing people, even lost people and secular people, cursing your name. I have not heard that, and accusing you falsely. In America, I have not heard that, and I have not heard that. I'm not saying, Lord, it's not being said, but I thank you for that, that it has not happened like that so far. But Lord, I do praise you, and I do thank you for loving us so much that you will chastise us, you will rebuke us, and you will punish us because you love us so much that when you see we're going in the wrong direction, you'll put a stop on it, not because you hate us, but because you love us. And so, Lord, help everybody to pause and to take heed to your rebuke and to your chastisement, to pay you the attention that is due you, to respect you, to reverence you, to obey you, to recognize that, Lord, without even trying, without even lifting a finger, without even blinking an eye, Lord, you can mess our lives up very quickly, thoroughly, from the top to the bottom. So much so that you can make the mighty America humble down to the point of having to stand in line for toilet paper, not for food, but for toilet paper. Lord, I am very confident that there are few people who even imagine something like that happening. So, Holy Father God, my prayer is that you will be, I'm thankful for that, because you've had me preaching on this for years and warning people. Lord, and sometimes in a selfish and comical way, that I don't want the people to mess me up and mess my blessings up, and they have, and I'm right there with them. Lord, you know I have enjoyed being born and living in America. I am tremendously blessed just from that alone. The thousands of days when I could just stroll on into my favorite grocery store and get what I need, and then if they don't have a certain thing, I can go across the street and go to the other grocery store. They all have basically the same, but they all have a few distinguishing things that set them apart. And I've oftentimes thanked you for that little blessing. Some people would think that to be a little blessing is a big blessing to me. And so, Lord, now my life has been hampered because I can't do that today as I have done for years, and have even talked about in the pulpit how that I don't want to lose those blessings. And here we are in these days. I knew you were going to judge us and deal with us, but I didn't think you were going to do it so quickly. But I thank you, and I pray that you will be thorough with us in the church first, because we know that we're not right. I know we have some who want to try to blame somebody else, but Lord, we're not right. The church is not right. We're worse than all seven of the churches that you wrote letters to and you dealt with, all of them combined. I would imagine, Lord, that we're the worst church in the history of the world, and very few, I would imagine, Lord, are truly born again and saved. Many are religious but lost, and that's why we're so wicked. So help us all who know you. Thank you, Lord, for the few preachers who are still preaching, even to empty churches. Help us to all confess our sins. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to humble ourselves before you. And Holy Father God, I have no power without your power, and I pray that you will have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us here and out there, and everybody who's gathered on for Jesus Christ's sake. Please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. And help people to be real about it if they can. If they're truly born again, they can. And help us to truly repent. And Lord, that may mean separating ourselves from others that we sin with, and cutting them off, throwing away phones, changing the number, changing the email address, to mean business about it. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. And Lord, I believe seeking your face is getting back to you, our first love in this day and time. Lord, reclaim the backslidden, revive the saints, save the lost. And Lord, we know that the devil fights us all day around here, for this is really my second time preaching. Lord, as you know, I was supposed to preach three, but I'm getting too old. I can't do like I used to. But Holy Father God, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemies, the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas and betrayal and Sanballat and Tobias from this time, as you have done so many times. Surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. And give us sweet victory once again over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you in advance. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. All truly called preachers know what I'm talking about. There are certain times when God is just flooding your heart and mind with so much to say to the people. If you're able, you could preach all day long. And we're in that place right now. Because we know and understand that most Americans, most people in the Western world, our dear friends in Asia and China and in Africa, they can hack this, they can handle this. But we know in America that most people in America are not ready for this. They are in no way prepared for this. Most people in America, even in the church, are not prepared to be in the house with their family that they say they love so much. We're going to see how much you love them now. No, sir. No, sir. Most people in America are not prepared for not having easy credit. Most folk in America are not used to living without a sure paycheck every week or every 2 weeks. And already, according to the online newspapers, child abuse is on the rise. Domestic abuse is on the rise. Even women beating up their husbands and beating up their children because they can't stand the fact their children are not in school anymore. That messes up their schedule real bad. Not only that, there's been an increase in calls to suicide agencies, counseling agencies, already uptick. Uptick in murders. Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "True prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth." And you need to understand that at this time. You need to understand that this is not about a vocal performance. You need to pray for real now. This is not about sounding good. Who cares? And let me help you. Please do not put your trust in the GOV. Put your trust in the GOD. Okay? That's wonderful what the government is doing. We thank God and we hope that they follow through. But we already have seen tonight, before I came into the pulpit, you need to put that down and take care of that. Before I came into the pulpit, that four Republicans and one Democrat, who happens to be Bernie Sanders, they're trying to shut that thing down, the $2 trillion. The devil is mad at me. He done cut off one of our lights. You need to do this number. Tighten. No. Yeah. Just tighten it. That's good. So you need to pray to God. Don't depend on the GOV. Depend on the G-O-D. I want to say the notorious, but I might get in trouble with God. And I, because God will hurry up and tell you in your spirit, you're going too far now. But in light of what we're facing, I might be able to get away with it. I don't. And that little check you get is going to be already gone, because most of you are overextended already before this came. If you do get a check, if you do get some money in your bank account from the government, it's not going to be enough. It's going to be gone if you did what you're supposed to do with it. It's going to be gone as soon as it gets here. In fact, you better hurry up and check the bank before they snatch it out of there. Mortgage people. Utilities people. And so forth. Don't depend on the GOV. It's good what they're doing. It's going to hopefully help a little bit. The church the rich churches ought to join them. That's right. Your church ought to be sending your check. If you're in a mega church with four or five other properties and all of that kind of stuff, three or four of the buildings are not going to come back online anyway. They need to go and sell them and send you all the money. Send you a check, $1,000, $2,000, help you out. This may also include the pastor's book sales, all his honorariums he got stored up for himself, and his big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. He might need to size down himself and help the poor people in the church. It's not all about the government. Now, because the government is going to let you down here. Okay, so don't you put your trust in the government. You better put your trust in God. And thank God you live in a country that would even think about giving you some money back. Thank God. But it'd be greater when the church can say, you know what, we're going to look out for our people. Especially all of the faithful folk. We got $100 million. We lost half of it in Wall Street, which we should have never invested in the first place. But we got $500,000 left. Let's give out some money to the people. And help people while you're giving the money out. Talk to them and listen to me very carefully. And tell them I told you to tell them. They're going to have to size down. If it's just husband and wife, y'all need to move into a camper. You need to move into an RV. Husband and wife and little children, move into an RV or to a small efficiency apartment. because this is going to be on. This is going to go on for a while, contrary to what President Trump is telling you. Don't get your heart all hyped up and full of hope that all of the, everything's going to just turn around this quick. You know, in America, and it's not doing that in Italy, in Spain. The truth of the matter is, it's going to get worse in America. And this may last all year long. And things may get so bad, the economy cannot recover. There'll be a long-term depression. So you need to pray, people. You need to trust in God. You don't need to fear. You don't need to worry. I'm talking to people of God, people who are truly saved and born again. Who don't live by slogans. They live by the Word of God. We got a whole slew of slogan Christians. They live by slogans. They live by the words, some cute little words by some prophet or some preacher. They don't live by the Word of God. All the little slogans and that little word you got from a preacher in the morning one day when you were driving to work, and it was cute and kind of lined up with your day and all that. That's all well and good and dandy, but you need the Word of God, and you need prayer. You need to hold on to that. And by the way, the true blue Christians, the true born-again Christians, they're going to survive. And they're going to thrive in God and in Jesus. The fake, phony, hypocritical Christians, they're going to fall by the wayside. The true preachers, they're going to preach if there's just two people in the church. And they're going to preach their hearts out just the same. They cannot do anything else when they're truly born again and truly called by God. The true preachers, you mark my word, they're going to preach their heart out. They're going to preach their heart out. They don't care who's in the crowd. And Dr. E. Stanley Jones said, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. Cooperation, rather, with that will. Are you praying like that? Are you all about God's will and not your will? See, we have some Christians so-called and preachers so-called. They're down in the dumps and depressed and defeated and disgusted and mad. Because their little fake Christianity can't go on like this. True Christians are fired up and ready to go. And they accept this as the will of God. And they still have the same level of joy, same level of peace. And they're going to keep on getting up for Jesus, whether you get up and go with Jesus or not. He continues, if I throw out a boat hook from the boat, now get this, and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me? Or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. And if you have that kind of mentality and that kind of heart tonight, all is well with your soul. And you will pray like me, Lord, be thorough with us. Take your time. Because we have parted and disregarded you and have forsaken you. We're way out at sea with our mess. We don't even know how to get back to the shore. But now we know. through prayer. God has not moved. You're the one drifted out into your ocean of sin and wickedness and pride and rebelliousness, concern about your selfish self and nobody else, no concern for your wife, no concern for your husband, no concern for your children, no concern for your parents, no concern for other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's all about you. You and yours. You and your four no more. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our last Wednesday night message in this series, we looked at how we can approach the throne of grace boldly and with humble confidence, because our high priest was tempted with sin just like us, but was without sin. Through this, we can know that Jesus Christ will represent us before God in our time of need very well. And tonight, we can approach the throne of grace boldly because we have a high priest who not only knows what we're going through, but who knows our need at any given time. He knows what we need before we ask him. That's what he said. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 reads, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I know you don't think you need it, but don't you know that you need grace and mercy to love your wife, and even a disobedient wife, a wife who does not submit to you, does not respect you? You need God's grace and mercy. And don't you know you need God's grace and mercy to love your husband and to respect him and to submit to him? You needed mercy and grace to get saved. Why do you not think you need grace and mercy to live the Christian life, that you can just do it on your own, in the flesh, and make a mess? For as one preacher said, the flesh is a mess, and he's right. You need God's grace and mercy to do anything in the Christian life. This final verse encourages us to make our petitions before God in prayer, looking towards him to meet our needs. Dr. Bryce Morgan said, "I'm sure that most of us, when we hear a message or read something on the subject of prayer, most of us start to slide down in our seats." And this is for real. "Or start to feel guilty all of a sudden. Whenever we hear a quote on prayer, whenever we read something about prayer, folks begin to sink down in their seat, even pastors, and they're more guilty than the people are." Samuel said, "How can I sin against God by not praying for you?" And the greatest sin that pastors have committed in the church is not praying for themselves, for their own family, and praying for the church. And that's why the church is powerless, not powerful, powerless. Great methods, great wonderful ideas. Most of them don't come from God, but they got some great ideas. Beautiful buildings, beautiful lawn, Disneyland playground for the little kiddies that the folks are turning into devils because they're not sitting in church under the word. God made it very clear that when his word is preached and read, he wants everybody, everybody, under the sound of his word, even the children. That's how we used to do it back in the day. Churches didn't have a nursery. You were the nursery. If it was your child, you nurse your own child. You're the nursery. You're going to sit right there in church and control your children. And if you're raising them right at home, they won't embarrass you. You see, parents didn't want to be embarrassed, so they raised you right at home. They whip you behind at home. So you sit up in church. They taught you the look. The mother, in most cases, and the father, in some cases, they taught you a look. It's a look that I can't. Only parents can do the look. The good parents, they can just look at you. Now you can see the steam coming out of the ears. You better sit your behind down and sit up straight. Don't make me have to deal with you out here. See, parents back in those days did not want to be embarrassed. To avoid embarrassment, nowadays, you take your little devilish tyke to somebody else to watch over them while you sit in church. And it's an unwritten rule that the nursery workers are not to say anything about how terrible and evil and devilish your children are. Why? Because the reality is that most of us, why do we sink down in our seats? Why we bow our heads not to pray, but because we're embarrassed about our prayer life? Why? Because we simply do not pray as we should. And because the reality is that most of us struggle with prayer, we simply do not pray as we should. And especially pastors. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today. I don't blame the president. I mean, I do blame the last two presidents, but I blame them second. I blame the pastors who have surrounded these presidents, President Obama and President Trump, because for some reason they did not press upon them the importance of not doing some things that have us in the mess we're in today. Our country is messed up and very likely will be messed up for a long time. Because pastors are not all, we thank God for the few, the faithful few, but many pastors, instead of praying, like Leonard Ravenhill said, they are playing. And most of them need to resign, as I've said for years. I've said for years, if 50 to 60% of the pastors would resign, the church, even the churches they resign from, would have revival. And usually we come up with all sorts of excuses, don't we, for why we don't pray. We say, I'm too busy for God. No, if you're too busy to pray, you're just too busy, period. you need to slow down, brother, sister, if you're that busy. Well, you know, I have to travel here and I have to travel there and go here and go there and do this for the Lord. You'll be better off traveling on your knees in prayer. And the people that you think you have to go and help and rescue, you'll be better off praying for them on your knees, at your house, or in your church office. In fact, I've learned down through the years, in God, you can do more good right where you are than traveling all over the world. And I've traveled all over the world. But I have reached more people for God, if you will, on my knees and without traveling around the world. I get invitations all the time to come preach in India, Kenya, Nigeria, South America, Philippines, all around the world. But God blessed me and set me up where I can preach to all of the countries of the world right from where I'm at. And I've had to write back and tell them, listen, I appreciate it. Thank God for you. We're praying for you. And my prayers for them are more important because I'm going to pray for them by name. When they ask for prayer from us, we pray for them. And we've been doing it for years. And that has been more effective than my traveling over there to preach a big crusade and all of that. And I just tell them, the reason why you're contacting me and inviting me to come preach over there is because you heard me over here. And all you need to do is tell as many people as you can about the fact that I'm preaching every day. We can have a crusade without me having to travel way over there. You can take what I'm preaching and you preach it. And you have a crusade. See, when you are broken before God and you really in it for Jesus, you don't care who gets the credit. You just want the job done. I want somebody to go tell President Trump what he needs to do to turn the tide here and to stop the plague. And he needs to overturn everything in the government dealing with supporting homosexuality, homosexual marriage, and the homosexual agenda. He needs to do that publicly, or this plague will be with us for a long, long time. And the pastors around him, not prophets, because the prophet would have done this a long time ago, and if the president didn't do what he told him, he would have been gone and pulled his support. And I'm telling those pastors around him right now to tell him this and say, Nathan, Mr. President Nathan, Nathan, the prophet is saying to Mr. President, thou art the man, you need to do this right here. If you don't do this, we're going to have to pull our support from you because the country is not going to be healed no matter what you do. No matter how fast you want to turn the economy back on, it's going to be a bad situation. So listen to what we're telling you or I'm out. We need a Nathan to say, thou art the man. And hopefully he will repent and do what he's told to do. Otherwise, we're going to get this, what we got going on right now, and more. We have sown the wind. The church has sown the wind. The government has sown the wind. And these are things that God has created, entities that God has created, the church and the government. President Trump is a minister too. So are the senators, and so are the representatives, governors and mayors. And they all need to repent of this foolishness that we've done over the past 10 years in his sight. because you're messing with his creation and you're trying to turn his world upside down on its head. So some of us, we say, I'm too busy to pray. Or I just can't find a quiet place to pray because my children, they're making too much noise in the house and I can't focus. I can't concentrate. Even when I go to the bathroom, they're always knocking on the door. Mommy, mommy, mommy. And the pastor in his home office complains about the noise in the house as well. But you're going to have to deal with it now because you're locked in. Well, I can't stay focused. Well, I can't get anywhere. Seems like I pray a little bit and I fall asleep. Or whatever the excuse is. But what we see here is that prayer, drawing near to God, is so often driven by a sense of need and a sense that God is the only one who can meet that need. The simple truth is, oftentimes we don't really see a need to pray because we don't see our real needs. That's one of the reasons why people don't pray as they should. If you look back on your life and think about those times when you prayed the most, you will probably find some pressing need that was very pronounced, some need that was driving you to your knees. A sick family member, a broken relationship in the family or with a friend, a national tragedy like we have right now. But if these are the only kinds of things we would describe as needs, then yes, maybe we won't feel motivated to pray. Maybe only in those really stressful times. But shouldn't we be needier than that? If we are living the life God has called us to live, then we will be praying very regularly. Have you ever had a need? A burden? Have you ever had a legitimate bill to pay on Monday and you did not have the money and the money, you couldn't see the money coming in and you prayed all weekend? You prayed repeatedly. You prayed every hour or more. And God worked a miracle for you and took care of that obligation. Have you ever had that experience? That's what need will do for you. Why? Because that life, the life of faith, is a life sustained by the mercy and grace of God. You need God's mercy all the way through your Christian life. You need God's grace all the way through your Christian life. And if there ever was a time to pray, my beloved, that time is now. See, but most of us in America what do? We want to handle it. And that's what most of you right now, sitting in the comfort of your home, because you have to. That's what you're doing right now. You're trying to figure it out. That's what we proud Americans do. or we fret and worry. But oftentimes we try to figure it out. We try to make it happen. We have our little mottos. Make it happen. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. Some of the mottos we hear today. We're in this together. Americans are some of the greatest people in the world. We're going to fight this enemy and we're going to win. Now, I love that American spirit. I'm all with that. I'm all about that. I like winning and I like getting things done. I like moving forward. That's my makeup. But God has taught me down through the years, if God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. You've got to pray to God to make it happen. And I've already told you, I'm going to tell you again, some of your churches are not going to open again ever because they were not doing what God told them to do. The faithful churches will open up again. And I got news for you. Most churches will not be open, contrary to what Mr. President Trump is telling everybody. I know why he's doing it. But most churches in America will not be open on Easter Sunday morning. And God's going to be quite all right with it. Because most churches are not doing what Jesus wants them to do. Pray without ceasing. My house is a house of prayer. Is the house of prayer. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Instead of stealing members. Love everybody. Instead of being prejudiced and racist, making your church into a little club, a black club, or a white club, or a red club, yellow club, whatever. It's just amazing. A year ago, almost to the day, God allowed me to write a book and finish a book titled The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk. That's a year ago, almost to the day the plague started. And I shared with everybody in the book why the church is not where it should be. Yes, the black church, the white church, because it's still like that. And all Christians everywhere. I included everybody. And one of the reasons why we're not where we should be is because what Leonard Ravenhill said so long ago, most pastors are playing and are not praying, and the people therefore are straying. He was right then and he's right now. But Jesus dealt with the church a long time ago, 7 churches. I preached a series on it. You can get it wherever it's at. Podcasts, audio, whatever. So, ladies and gentlemen, I keep coming back to the title of that old hymn. This is a favorite hymn of one of my preacher friends. Brother Sammy Madison. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. If you have not thought about that hymn in recent weeks, months, and years, I hope you understand tonight that you need God every hour. Instead of hating your wife and being angry at her, and instead of hating your husband and being angry at him and getting on the phone to talk to your girlfriend or talk to your boyfriend and all of that foolishness, trying to separate from one another in the house, instead of being angry and mad at a family member while you are sheltering in place, I'm here to tell you, no matter how you feel, because see, you're never going to really feel like praying. It's just not in you. And the devil does not want you to pray. But just humble yourself down. Stop trying to handle everything yourself. Husband, father, wife, mother, and the children are not going to lead you all in prayer. I don't know of any children who have done it. I'm sure there are one or two somewhere who just said, hey everybody, let's pray. More than likely, if that father and husband does not lead the wife and children in prayer, they're not going to pray. But somebody needs to start praying. While you're sitting on the couch, getting depressed, watching the news, and no sports, and sports commentators talking about non-sports, what they hope might happen with the NFL, and all that nonsense. And if there's not going to be an NFL this year, forget about that. And you won't be able to watch it because your cable will be cut off by that time. Anyway, you need to click off the television. You can pause it. You can whatever. You can do the little silence thing, whatever. And just pray with your family. You don't have to get all drawn up and make into a big ordeal. Just sit right there on the couch. Mute the television. Close your eyes and pray. Pray for yourself first. If you have sin in your life, be honest and confess it to God. You have a mean wife, pray for her. Just tell the truth. She knows whether or not she's mean. She might give you the evil eye when you say her name. That's okay. You don't look at her. Just go ahead on and pray. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have mercy and grace upon me, Lord. And forgive me of all of my sins. And now, Lord, I bring before you my wife. She's mean. And Lord, you know it. And Lord, I pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil from her life. In fact, Lord, please cast out the devil in her life. That's when she's going to give you the evil eye like that. What? But you know what the deal is. Be honest with God. You don't need to tell anybody else. You don't need to call and tell the pastor. Tell God. While you're praying, you pray for your teenagers. Lord, help my daughter Macy. Put down the phone while I'm praying, just for a few minutes. And Lord, I pray for my son Broderick, that he'll stop looking at the television on mute, wishing for a football game. And Lord, help him to focus on you for a few minutes. Lord, I'll cut the television completely off. And Lord, I pray that you'll save their souls and save everybody's soul in my family, because I don't see any signs of anybody being saved in this family. Lord, help them to believe on Jesus Christ. For Lord, they made a profession of faith many years ago, and I haven't seen any signs since. And Lord, help us all to repent of our sins and to have the right attitude and the right spirit. Fill our hearts with love. Take away the hatred and the bitterness. Lord, by your grace and your mercy, heal our marriage and our family. And Lord, help us to work together and to accomplish some great things under the circumstances. And Lord, if it be your will, we pray that the money would come in as they have promised and help us to use it wisely. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll help all of us who name your name to confess our sins, to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. Lord, we don't have the strength to do it. We need your mercy and grace. And so we come before your throne of grace, seeking help in time of need. Lord, we may not even feel like being revived, but we know we need to be revived. Please revive us again. And Lord, this time around, help us to keep it real. Help us to learn our lesson. And then open up great doors for us, because we know you love us. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Amen. Just pray a humble, casual prayer like that. You don't need to get all up and riled up trying to make, trying to be eloquent in your prayer. Just tell the truth and shame the devil. When we think we can deal with challenges and truly impact others and find real answers and make a lasting difference all on our own, in our own little strength, why would we pray? There's no need to pray, and that's why most people don't pray. They got their little American machinery going, they got their little thing going on, and they don't even realize it's the grace of God, it's the mercy of God, and because there's a remnant praying for them, that they're able to do what they do. But when we recognize how much we need God's mercy and God's grace, and I'm going to tell you for the third time tonight, you needed God's mercy and grace to be saved, and you need God's mercy and grace to live your Christian life from day to day. And when we understand that, we will cry out to him in every circumstance. And if we feel led to cry out to him, the author is telling us here that we can cry out with confidence, with boldness, for his mercy and for his grace and for his help in time of need. Because of the sacrifice provided on the cross for us, we can approach God's throne of grace through our high priest, Jesus the Christ, with boldness, with confidence, throwing ourselves upon his mercy and his grace to find help in our times of need. The hymn writer wrote, "I need thee every hour." Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us tonight that we need your mercy and your grace to be saved, and we need your mercy and grace to live every day of our saved lives. And we need your mercy and grace in time of need. And Lord, the truth of the matter is, none of us living today have experienced a time of need like this in all of the days of our lives. And so, Holy Father God, help us to get real with you, because you have gotten real with us. And Holy Father God, help us to individually be honest about our sins, our failures, and our faults as believers in Christ, and help us to confess our sins, help us to repent, help us to turn from our evil ways, help us to pray, help us to humble ourselves, and help us to go to your throne of grace and get back to you, our first love, Lord Jesus. And everything will be all right if we get right with you in the church, for judgment must begin at the house of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. And I mean that, folks. That little prayer example I gave you, that's all you need to do. Don't try to sound like the pastor or some deacon. Don't think you got to work up something. Sitting there with the remote control in your hand, just pray. and tell the truth on yourself and on your family, because God already knows about it. And that's the place, at the throne of grace, where you need to do it. You don't need to call your friends and your buddies and tell them. Tell God. In fact, I am convinced, my beloved, that if you don't have a strong prayer life in the marriage and in the family, your marriage and your family cannot last, because you're venting every place else except at the throne of grace. You need to pray to God. Stop trying to do it yourself. And that's one of the reasons why. See, one of the reasons why we're in this situation is because God is so sick of this foolishness with all these divorces in the church. Even we even have ministries for divorced people, encouraging them really to get a divorce. Big sign out front in the church: divorce care here. So we know you already shot to hell in your marriage. Come on up here and get into our glorified dating program, and we'll hook you up with another divorced person. It's not pleasing in God's sight. We're not teaching these people to pray. You're teaching them four steps on how to have a happy marriage, and you're reading some information from a psychologist and nothing from the Bible. The first thing you need to tell them, they need to pray. The second thing you need to tell them is that they need to pray. The third thing, pray. The fourth thing, pray. There's your four points right there. Otherwise, they're not going to make it. And the only reason why you are making it is because you're faking it. You don't talk to each other at the house, but yet you get in the pulpit. Oh, my better half, my sweet thing, and all this foolishness. And it's not like that at the house at all. In fact, people, the more people do all that, the more they don't have anything going on. And you can tell when somebody, they really got it going on. And if God is not at the center, they don't have anything at all. If they don't have a prayer life, it's not going to, it's not about anything. So pray. A simple prayer, a breath prayer for 30 seconds will do more for your marriage and your family. Listen to me. A 45 second prayer, less than 60 seconds, praying with your wife and children, will do more for your marriage and family than 60 hours in a counselor's office, I guarantee you. Now, dear friend, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws, just as I have. We all have. From the Pope on down, the Pope slapped a woman the other day. The Dalai Lama admitted he sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have disappointed God. We all have failed God. We all have messed up before God. Everybody is guilty. Not only Harvey Weinstein, but everybody. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave because of sin. People are dying all around the world, 700, 800, 900 a day. In America today, over 200. I believe it has reached. Before I started preaching, it was at 185 in one day. Why? Why do we die? We die because of sin. Our sinful nature, we sin by nature and we sin by choice. We're evil. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell because of your sin and because you have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. In Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, Jesus said, for because Jesus Christ preached more on hell than all of the preachers of the Bible. Jesus Christ was loving and lowly and meek, but he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. And in one of his sermons, he said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. Hell is bad news for real. But I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell, even though you deserve to go to hell. It is the greatest news, the greatest story ever told. Jesus Christ said it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save your soul. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And I cannot emphasize to you enough tonight, dear friend, that these are the days of death in this country and around the world. Whenever you have something that is invisible, killing 700 to 1,000 people a day in one country, several thousand people a day in the world, and you can't stop it, that means that you can die. An athlete, 21 years old, is dead today because they lost his test. Beautiful young lady, 21 years old, died of the coronavirus. Today, one yesterday. Young people are dying. Middle-aged people are dying. One lady in her 30s, I think she was a first-grade teacher or something like that. Beautiful, in good health, dead because of the coronavirus plague. Prince Charles may be checking out soon because he has been diagnosed with the coronavirus plague. Idris Elba and his wife have the coronavirus plague. Tom Hanks, one of the greatest actors of all time, and his wife, they have it. And on and on and on and on we can go. So, dear friend, you could die any day now for real. Get your eternal life insurance policy signed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now in your heart. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And trust in him as your Savior. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will do it. And if you're ready to get saved right now, repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Repeat after me in prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before in my heart. I have disobeyed and disrespected my parents. I have not honored them. I have not honored you by taking your holy name in vain. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. For as you know, Lord, that's just five of your Ten Commandments. I have broken many other commandments, and I have sinned in many ways. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. And as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I receive you into my heart. Please save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, wherever you are in the world, if you're in Italy, in Spain, in France, in Great Britain, if you are in America, the Philippines, China, South Korea, North Korea, wherever you are in the world, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the eternal Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my article titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ is that door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, I'll be speaking tomorrow around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we'll be glad to have you.